All right, we are going to continue our study on living a first century Christian life in a 21st century world. You know, the Bible hasn't changed, the faith hasn't changed, but let's be honest, the way God's people live for the most part has changed dramatically from the first century. We need to be first century Christians in a 21st century world. We need to let our light shine. We need to be the salt that God intended us to be. He wants his people to live the same type of life they did back then today. Notice what verse 6 of James chapter 1 tells us. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now look, notice that three-word phrase, ask in faith. Now the faith life is the only type of Christian life there is to live. You know, faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it is defined in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, as looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, I don't know how many times that verse has come into my mind and how many times that verse has helped me out in difficult situations. You see, I don't need to be looking at the circumstances. I don't need to be looking at other people. I don't need to be looking at my adversity. What I need to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. You know, if I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus, I'd have resigned from being pastor many years ago. But you know what? How many people have quit on Christ and have abandoned the faith all because they would not keep their eyes on the Lord and walk by faith? Right. Well, as we go through this book, we come to the expression that we all need. That is, ask in faith. Now, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm supposed to ask in faith, I better have a scriptural reason on why I'm asking. Amen? It needs to come from the Word of God. You know what? Some people think, you know what? I'm just going to ask believing, and they believe all kinds of weird nonsense, and they believe somehow that God is going to bless them with an answer. You know, I don't know how many Christians I know bought a lottery ticket, and they prayed, God, please! Let me win! Now, is he going to bless your gambling? He's told you not to, right? Now, is that good stewardship to invest in those type of things? I know that's a wonderful retirement plan, but it's not going to work. And then here's one of the things I really get a kick out. Well, preacher, if I win the lottery, I'll tithe. I say, you know what? Keep that money out of the church. I don't need that money in this church, neither does the Lord. You know, that's like a drug dealer saying, well, as long as I tithe to the church, I should be all right. No, we don't need that money here either. Folks, we need to ask in faith. Now, Jesus tells us that too. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Notice what it says in verse 21 and 22. It says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, what? Believing. Now, it says ye shall receive. And when he was coming to the, verse 21. What am I doing? I'm reading 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have what? Faith. And doubt not. You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall what? Receive. You know, sometimes you read in the Bible, you read some miracles that happen, don't you? And you wonder, how in the world did these guys even come up with this stuff? Well, I believe God impressed them upon their heart. You know, like when Joshua asked the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. I mean, who in the world would think of that? Not unless God impressed upon his heart to do so or spoke to him and said, you know what, that's what you need to do. And you know what? With faith, he asked and God did what he asked for. Because he asked what? In faith. You know, how many miracles do we let go by simply because we do not ask in faith? You know what? We doubt. You know what? We don't believe. And here we go and we think, man, you know what? God said this, but I don't believe it. Now, you may not say that, but you know, our God can do the impossible. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And if he says something in the word, it's going to come to pass. You know, it's like this. You know, people that don't tithe, they think they're going to starve to death. But did not God tell us that he would bless us, open up windows of heaven and take care of us? And you know what? Here's the funny thing. Those who don't tithe, God puts a curse on them. And I've seen that happen. And yet they still don't figure out that God's word can be trusted. Crazy, isn't it? Or here's one. How many fail to surrender to the Lord? They don't completely yield themselves to the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And yet they don't do that. Because you know why? God's going to make their life miserable if they do. Because that's what he's up there wanting us for us, isn't he? He's wanting to make us all miserable. No. You know, how many times you read in the Bible he wants us to rejoice, be glad, be happy. And yet, you know what? You're robbing yourself of those blessings if you fail to do that. It's crazy, isn't it? We need to live by faith. Faith in what thus saith the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what we think. You know, sometimes, most of the time, our thoughts are not his thoughts. And we need to subject these little minds to his great thoughts and just abide by them. It's talking about living and asking by faith. You know, so many of us go through the motions of prayer. We really don't believe God's going to answer them. But if we're going to be Christian, we better spend some time praying. Because after all, it's required. We're commanded. You know, I'm not thinking God's really interested in that. He doesn't want us to go through the motions. He wants us to ask in what? Faith. He wants our prayers to be answered. He delights in hearing and answering our requests. And yet we don't ask in faith. We go through the motions, never believing that God will answer any of our requests. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you asked for something big that God impressed upon your heart to pray for? Huh? You know, I often wonder, you know, I preached a sermon years ago on them dead bones. And you know, if the prophet was a Baptist and God said, speak to these dead bones, I said, no, they can't. And said, well, will these bones live? He said, no, they can't live, Lord. Forget about it. But you know, because that prophet did what he was told, those bones did live. That's right. You know, we Baptists are poor believers. You know, we say, hey, man, we believe the Bible. But do we practice it? Do we even know what it says? Do we pray in faith? Just asking. I mean, you see time and time again, you read Hebrews chapter 11, that's called the hall of faith. Now, some of those people that are mentioned there, they didn't always behave very well. But they had one thing going for them. What was that? Faith. And it's faith that pleases God. When we move forward by faith in what thus saith the Lord. Now, verse 6 is in connection with trials. The trials that God brings into our lives. Look at what it says in verse 2 through 5. My brethren, count it all misery. No, let's be practical here. Right? Let's be truthful here. Do we count it misery? Most of us do. Something happens in our life, throws a wrench into our wheels, and you know what? We get tore out of the frame. And we start whining and complaining. We don't act by what? We don't count it all joy. Yet this is what the Bible says. And this is how we're supposed to react. We are supposed to be living by what? Faith. Do you see that? Count it all joy when you fall into divers what? Let's talk about different trials, various trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what? Now, how many realize that? All right, if it's working patience, it's working for our good, is it not? That's why we can count it all. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. That word means mature. Doesn't mean sinless, it means mature. Mature in what? Mature in the faith. You know, when you start whining and crying like a little baby, it shows that you're immature. You need to grow up. And entire wanting what? Nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, how many lack wisdom? All right, every hand should go up. We all could use a good dose of it, could we not? Let him ask of what? Let him ask of who? So if I'm asking for wisdom, should I believe that God will grant that to me? Because it is something that he's told me to ask for, right? So when I'm asking by faith, and instead of doubting that he'll give me anything to, you know, help this gray matter in my noggin, I should believe that it's going to happen. Should I not? Sure. We need to ask for wisdom, ask in faith. Let him ask of God to give it to all men what? Liberally. He'll give you hoops. That's what the word literally or liberally means. Hoops. Look it up in the Greek. And upbraideth what? Not. That means he's not going to chide you for asking. You know, you ask for wisdom, he's not going to go, you know, you're a doofus. You know, you made so many stupid mistakes in the past. Why should I give you any wisdom? You know, how many here had earthly fathers that kind of upbraided you when you asked them for something? Yeah, you know, I used to ask my dad for money. Son, do you think money grows on trees? And I'm thinking, I always wanted to say, but I'm still alive today. But I did want to say, where do you think paper comes from? You know, it wouldn't have went well for me. But I wanted to say it. I exuded a little bit of wisdom there. But upbraideth not, it shall be what? Given him. Doesn't it say that? So we lack wisdom. We should ask for wisdom. Ask in faith, and God will give it to us what? Liberally. In these trials, God says we are to let patience have her perfect work. Now, patience means to abide under. Remember, it's not the trial we are abiding under. It is the loving care of the Lord Jesus we are abiding under through our trials. Our desire is to live under Christ's ruling presence. This requires a continued yielding to him. Think about it. You know, this means that he's supposed to be in control. You know, when a trial comes, how many need his control? How many of you are supposed, you think we should be yielded to him during those times? Because if we are, what are we going to do? We're going to act in the flesh, are we not? And we're going to make all kinds of mistakes, and we're going to lose out on the benefits that that trial is supposed to bring into our life. Correct? So we need to be yielded to Jesus. I wonder how many of us yielded to him this morning. Huh? How many of us asked, you know, Christ to take leadership of our lives? How many of us surrendered to him fully this morning? How many of us really allow him to be Lord of our life? Oh, we accept him as Savior, but, you know, that's as far as we're going to go. We don't want him running our life, do we? Pretty sad, isn't it? You know, if we're not spiritually minded about this, we're going to think all we're dealing with is a trial. Some adversity. Some storm that just happened to come into our life. And we're not going to see that God is trying to deal with us in a certain manner. He instructs us to abide under his care and his keeping through the trial. You know, so many of us want to get out of the trial. We do all we can to remove ourselves from the adversity or the hardship we're going through, instead of let patience have her what? Perfect work. Now, do we not realize Romans 8:28 is a promise that we need to claim? It says, and we what? It doesn't say, and we hope, or we think, or it might work out for us. It says, and we know that what? All things. How many things? All things work together for good to them that what? Now, if it's not working out for your good, that means you probably don't love God like you should. Now, how does one prove their love to God? Keep his commandments. That's talking about like what? Walking by faith? To them who are the called according to his what? Purpose. Now, on one end, we find people who blame God for something, don't we? You know, there's a lot of Christians that do that. Tough times come in, they blame God, they start yelling at him, questioning his love for them. You know, he sent his son. His son died for us. How dare we question his love? Or we say, you know what? God, you know, why is this happening to me? Now, there's no wrong in asking, but there's wrong in doubting. And what we need to do is just look to God, keep our eyes on Jesus, and get the full benefits of the trial we're going through. But some people, you know what? They abandon God during those times. And then it just seems to go worse and worse for them. Then you find those who go through it by faith. They're abiding in the Lord, keeping their eyes on Jesus, and they allow patience to have their perfect have its perfect work. They learn to thank God for the trial. They exude joy for the trial because they're learning more about the Lord through the trial, and they are growing spiritually through that time of tribulation. We're dealing with the subject of what? Faith. Here's the thing. I say it often. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Is he good to you in adversity? Is he good to you in the valley? Or is he only good to you on the mountaintop? You know, one of the things that bothers me, and there's a lot that bothers me. I'm just bothered. But you know what bothers me is God was good to me today. You know, every time I hear our good to me this week, I'll say, well, wasn't he good last week? Right. Wasn't he good the week before? Yep. Yeah, his goodness doesn't change. Right. So obviously these people that say such things, they don't really believe that that attribute of God is one that is of continuance. What I know what they mean by that. Things went well for me this week. Yeah. And if it's going well for me, then God is good. But when things don't go well for me, then he's bad. That's what they're saying. No, they're not going to say that. You know, I've never had anybody raise their hand and testimony, God's been bad to me this week. But you know, deep down in there and in there, that's what they're thinking. And then when things go well, oh, he's been good to me this week. Well, I thought he was good all the time. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Oh, okay. James tells us, ask in faith. Now, the object of one's faith is all important. Did not God give everyone, every man, the measure of faith? Right? It's a gift. But it's the object of the faith that's important. You know, some people have faith in themselves, don't they? You know, I go out soul winning, and they'll say, well, I'm okay, I'm good. I'll get to heaven, you know, based on my good works. Now, who they got faith in? Themselves. They believe they're their own Savior. You know, and so the object of our faith is important. Some believe all kinds of different things. But the object of our faith is to be Jesus Christ. And our faith source ought to come from the Scriptures. And the Scriptures themselves reveal to us who Jesus really is. Amen? Does not Jesus say that the Scriptures speak of Him? You know, when we read the Bible, we ought to be looking for Jesus in every page. I guarantee you start doing that, the Bible will come alive and you'll be blessed. But you know what? The object of our faith is who? Jesus. That's why we ought to be looking unto Him. Now, when we are dealing with the subject of faith, we're really dealing with the subject of God because He's the object of our faith, and that faith must always be in Jesus Christ. If He is not the object of our faith, then our faith is vain. Simple as that. You know, we live in a country where we kind of got this pluralistic view of, you know, all faiths are equal. No, they're not. There's only one faith that God will recognize and will please Him, and that's the faith found in Jesus Christ and the source of that faith in the Bible. That's it. Sorry to burst your bubbles. But that's the truth. You see, this Bible here is a revelation of God. You know, every now and then I come across somebody say, oh, I know all about God. And I say, well, can you tell me about Him? Hey, if you know something I don't know about Him, I want to know. Well, they have no idea who God is. And it's sad, isn't it? But they know all about Him. They haven't even read the Scriptures. How can you know about God without the Bible? Right. You can't. The purpose of God's Word is to reveal God to us. Someone might ask you, well, what is the Bible? Well, it is the Word of God, but it is also God's revelation of Himself that He wrote to us in a book. It's the inspired Word of God. It is God-breathed, and He used human penmen to write it down. The Word of God liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. But when we read this, it teaches us about who God is. And when you read this and you find out somebody else has this different view of God, you need to dismiss what they say and just stick with the book. If faith is placed in our confidence in God, then the greater the revelation of God becomes to us, the greater our faith will be. You know, our faith ought to be growing all the time. You know, our faith ought to be exercised. You know, you ever see people working out? I used to work out when I was younger, you know. And I worked out quite a bit. I was in pretty good shape. But, you know, just like you don't get muscles by looking at weights, your faith doesn't increase unless you put it into practice. I wish that would happen, but it doesn't work that way. And neither will your faith grow until you start putting things into practice. You say, well, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but, there you go, but what? I know what it is, what you're going to say. I'm just not willing to do it. It just doesn't make sense to me. What doesn't have to make sense to you? Have you not read, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways? We're supposed to just put it into practice, are we not? And then we will understand when it's all said and done. We have been instructed to have a childlike faith, right? You ever notice a little kid, they believe all kinds of things you tell them. You know, my grandkids will never grow up normal. I tell them all kinds of stuff. And they believe it. And I'm thinking, my. I teach them good things too, but I like messing with them.
It is fun.
It is fun. But you know what? That's what it's talking about there. They believe everything that you'll teach them. And you know what? When you come to the Bible, we need to have a childlike faith. We need to believe everything that God says. But that faith is all supposed to grow, is it not? Sure it is. We're supposed to believe it and then be doers of it. Now, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So the Word of God will reveal God to us, will it not? Sure it will. Now, we need to get settled on the Scriptures. If we are going to live a first century Christian life in a 21st century world, we need to get settled on the Scriptures. We need to realize everything that God has said in His Word is right, and it needs to be put into practice today. Simple. And if we're not doing it, we're not the Christians we ought to be. We are to live the Christian life by the way God told us to in His Word. Now, when temptation has taken its toll and one has yielded to doubt in a matter, when they're going through trials, you know, how does one deal with that? Do you deal with it in your own strength? Do you just try to persevere and see it through? Do you try to escape? Or, like the Bible says, are you willing to let patience have her perfect work and go through it by faith? Do you count it all joy, or do you cry and moan and complain? You know, what we believe about God does affect every aspect of our life. It does. You know, for instance, how many believe that God is omnipresent? You say, what is that talking about? That means He's everywhere, all the time. Now, if you really believe that, has that ever affected your behavior? Oh, sure it has. Sure it has, and it ought to. How many believe God is omnipotent or all-powerful? All right. Has that ever impacted your life? Has me. You know, when I come before God in prayer, I realize, you know what? He can do all things. Nothing's too hard for Him. Nothing is impossible. He's omnipotent. I mean, He spoke the world into existence in 10 sayings in 6 literal days. I mean, I think if He did that, He can answer my prayer. Amen? How many think He's omniscient? He knows everything about us. Now, that's somewhat comforting, somewhat troubling. You know, when I was a young believer, I was like, oh, God, I wish you weren't omniscient. You know everything about me. You know, and but then, you know, you realize, you know what, he cares about you that much. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows all about you. He knows all your needs. He's willing to meet those needs. It's kind of comforting and yet troubling at the same time, is it not? Now, if you read the Bible, you'll know that, you know, God revealed himself in different ways to different people, right? You know, and for instance, in Abraham, he was a friend to Abraham, wasn't he? And he revealed himself as the Lord God Almighty. And he also revealed to Abraham that he was the Lord who would provide. And then you move on through the Bible and you see God revealing himself different ways to different people. And you know what? We got a full revelation of God in his word from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're very blessed for that today. And so, you know, when it talks about Jesus, you ought to know who he is. Who is he? Was he just a man? He's God the Son. He was God manifest in the flesh. Did he come the first time? Yes. And he came as a suffering servant. Will he come again? Yes. And he'll come what? As a conquering king. He will set up his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. But you know, we need to know about the Lord. And the only way we're going to know about him is by getting into the Word of God and reading it. This book reveals God to us. Now, trials will prompt the necessity for your faith, will it not? You know, oftentimes, you know, I go through something, and I'm probably the only one, but I've blown it a time or two. Is anybody else? All right, there's about half a dozen here that are willing to admit that. You know, we just ought to go like this. You know, the rest of you, you can go like this to us, but, you know, but I've blown it. And, you know, sometimes I look at that and I say, man, you know, I read a portion of Scripture and say, man, I wish I would have followed that guy's example. I'd have came out of here much better than I did. And you know what? Usually then, you know what happens? I get to go through it again. But I learned from the first time not to blow it like I did the first time. And then hopefully the second time I go through that thing, I come out victorious. Amen? And then sometimes later on, I get to go through it again. Just God wants to see if I can go through it victorious the third time. But I'm telling you, you know what? You blow it, and sometimes you look back and you read the Word of God, and you think, man, you know what? I should have just kept my eyes on Jesus. You know what? I should have walked by faith through this thing. You know what? I missed out on the blessings that could have came through this time of trial that was in my life, and I blew it. And you know what? The next time, I want to go through it with joy. And the next time, I want to come forth as gold. Now, one thing about the Christian faith, it ought to reveal true humility. Right? It should. In James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10, it says this, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up." Now, if we're asking in faith, you know, we're coming before a God, and we need to come before him in a humble manner. You know, I've heard some people pray, and it's like they're ordering God around. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not real prayer. Well, God, if I were you, this is what I would do. Well, thank God you ain't God. Amen? Well, who do we think we are telling God what he should do? I mean, really. I mean, you look at all that he created, and then we want to shake our fist at him and tell him what he should be doing on our behalf. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We need to come in true humility. You know, when we're going through trials, we need to admit we can't handle this on our own. We need help. We need God's help. We need Him to undergird for us. You know, one of the great phrases I've come across, and I've used it for years, is underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, I can never go down farther than His arms cannot hold me up. Isn't that good? I think that's wonderful. But you know, sometimes instead of living by faith, we live by force. We're going to handle this thing. We're going to use all the strength we can muster to go through this thing. We're going to endure it to the end. And you know what? God says, I wish you'd just humble yourself and rely on me. You know, you could get something out of this trial instead of coming out thinking you all that and a bag of chips. You know, I brought this into your life so I might get some glory from it. You know, how many here have went through something and did it all on their own? I know I have. And did God get any glory out of that? No. And then when you tell everybody, well, you know, I, instead of giving God the glory for it. You know, how many here ever beat an addiction? Anybody? I have. And, but you know what? I did it on my own. And it was horrible. I mean, I still don't do it today, but I mean, it was like God doesn't get any glory for that. And I'm ashamed that I didn't rely on the Lord for that. Because you know what? He could have helped me. I wouldn't have had to work so hard. Correct? You say, what was it? I used to smoke quite a bit. You say, well, how do you handle that? Not biblically. You know what? Every time I had an urge, I would run. How many of you have ever smoked? All right. Then after running, you want to light one up when you're, right? You need to get that smoke back in there, right? No! You're huffing and puffing. The last thing you want is to smoke a cigarette. But eventually, you know what? That helped. I got the victory over it because you know what? I knew smoking and Christianity were incompatible. I understood that. You know, if God wanted me to smoke, He'd have put a chimney on my head. But anyways, so finally I got over that. But man, I can't give God any glory for that. I robbed Him. And you see, we need to rely on God. God can see us through. He is more than capable of doing so. That's where faith comes in. We read the Bible, He reveals Himself to us, and you know what? We can rely on the Bible and His great power to see us through any time of trial or tribulation. You know, how many here have ever lost something near and dear to them? I mean, you went through a terrible time. I mean, you were hurting bad, okay? How many ever had experienced the comfort of God going through that? Yeah, I have. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, prior to my salvation, I didn't have any comfort from God. I just had to gut it out, grit my teeth, and press on. That's a miserable way to go. Well, we'll have some more. Oh, that Sunday school teacher. He's running his mouth way too long.